Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining in the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning, good morning. This is MC Blair, and welcome to Your Health, Saturday morning at 11, only on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I am so excited. We have Melanie Dorian. She is a nurse practitioner, and she is also the founder of Sana V Health. And that what is Sana V Health?
So Sana V Health is a functional and integrative medicine clinic here in Charlottesville. I've been working in Charlottesville for over 6 years, but about a year ago I founded Sana V to be able to really truly help people who have chronic complex illnesses, environmentally acquired illnesses, in a way that allows me to take more time with my patients and really dig to the root cause of their problems or dysfunction. And I use a comprehensive approach. I do IV therapy and functional medicine consults. I do a lot of nutrition counseling. So it's really an integrative and functional medicine clinic in town.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. That's great. And we're going to be talking about how our basic nutrient intake is the foundation of a healthy life and how nutrient deficiency contributes to many illnesses. We'll learn about foods that we can eat to get the right nutrients. Food is medicine, right?
Food is absolutely medicine.
Absolutely. And if time allows, we'll talk about saturated fat. Is it good? Is it bad? And there have been some recent studies and some studies that have come to light. I say recently, actually, it's been a while, recently for our audience, for sure, which will reveal the truth. Big surprise, which has been hidden from the public. But that's why you listen to Your Health. It's what we do, right? So let's do this. Now, Melanie, besides being a world-class athlete, and that she's worked hard for that, no doubt, she's also integrative and functional nurse practitioner, founder of Sana V Health, which I just mentioned, and she focuses on managing and reversing chronic illness, disease prevention, health, and performance optimization. She studied naturopathic medicine at Bastyr University in Washington, and she got her nurse practitioner degree at Seattle University. She's had advanced training in obesity management, very important, nutrition, exercise, science, herbal medicine, and genetics, allowing for a unique approach to health concerns. She centers on chronic complex illnesses, disease prevention, and environmentally acquired illnesses. That's pretty important.
It is, actually. We have a lot of issues with our environments that are significantly contributing to imbalances and health concerns. So there needs to be more of us doing this medicine.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And also, she's a member of the Institute for Functional Medicine, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, Obesity Medicine Association, and the Virginia Council of Nurse Practitioners.
Woo-hoo.
Wow, that's a lot. You know? So your philosophy. What is your philosophy?
My philosophy of health and healing is really founded in naturopathic and functional medicine, which means that the body has everything it needs to heal and thrive. And when it's not, then we got to remove obstacles. So the obstacles can be toxins, nutritional deficiencies, inflammation, infections. So when we have that lens, practitioners who practice naturopathic, integrative, or functional medicine, we really look at the root causes of where these imbalances are coming from. And why the body can't heal itself. I go into every patient visit with the belief that if I can remove obstacles for this patient, the body will heal. So I'm really like a coach. I'm going to try and figure out what's going on. I'm going to give my patients a plan and a program, and then I'm going to work at removing obstacles to healing, giving things that the body needs, and then I just let the body do its thing. The body should be able to heal. We're hugely resilient humans, very, very resilient. So my belief is, and that's really how naturopathic, functional, and integrative practitioners feel, and that's our belief, is that we are there to facilitate healing and thriving, whatever that means. It means removing obstacles, taking care of infections, inflammation, nutritional deficiencies, balancing things, balancing hormones. But then you back off and you let the body do its thing.
So basically, if somebody is nutrient deficient, which I got to tell you, I think most people probably are.
They are.
unless they've gone through a course and they're very conscious about that, that you get those nutrients back up to snuff or back up to a baseline, I suppose. But before that can happen, you have to make sure the body is able to absorb.
Absolutely.
The nutrients.
That's a really good point, because we rely heavily on a healthy digestion, obviously, to absorb our nutrients.
Right.
So when there's imbalances in your digestive system, and that starts it starts from the mouth, because if you're not having proper salivary digestive enzymes or proper chewing, it starts messing the absorption and the possibility for absorption all the way down.
Mm.
So if your digestive tract is off, or you don't have proper eating hygiene, is what I call it, like eating properly in a relaxed fashion, chewing properly, then even though your nutrient may be super awesome and optimal, you're probably not absorbing your nutrients optimally. And if you're someone who pushes life a little bit, you like to exercise, you maybe have children, you're working full time, you're going to need optimal nutrients. And you may not be getting that if you're not absorbing and digesting properly. So I'm glad you brought that up. The digestive tract is huge in terms of overall health, because of both the immune system that it houses, but also because of the absorption of nutrients and the elimination of toxins that it's involved in.
So you may get a patient that comes in and says, you know, doc, I'm eating the right meats, I'm eating the nuts, I'm eating the yogurt and all the things I'm supposed to be eating, and I still don't have any energy.
Correct.
Chances are they've got an obstacle that's keeping them from absorbing those nutrients.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's my role, to figure out what that is. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people come to me and they're doing things right. They really, truly are. And there are imbalances that they just can't themselves test themselves mm-hmm. for or figure out. So I have to figure out what those obstacles are. And I do a lot of testing for the digestive health and digestive tract. So that's a big part of what I do and what we do in functional medicine, is we do believe that the digestive tract is so critical to overall health. If that's not a balance, my experience is really consistent with my peers, is that it's going to be hard for someone to really thrive if your gut is a wreck. And by when I say gut, I mean your digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
So if your digestion or your gut is a total wreck, you're going to have a really hard time thriving. It's not just healing or recovering from a condition or an imbalance. My goal is to bring people back to optimal health so you can thrive, get out there, and kick some butt. So if your gut is a wreck, you're going to have a really hard time doing that
yeah.
for a variety of reasons, including mm-hmm. not absorbing your nutrients, but also inflammation and the immune imbalance that it causes.
You mentioned inflammation, and during some research, I found out that blocked arteries, you have to have inflammation in order for that to occur.
Correct.
And so if you have eliminated your inflammation, you know, that's not going to happen.
Eliminated is an interesting word. If you can reduce.
Decrease. There we go.
Decrease inflammation,
right,
because
yeah.
there are things that can, in a way, remove inflammation.
Right.
You can take NSAIDs, you can take medications, but that changes the inflammatory pathway further down.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually resolve the inflammation.
Oh.
So what we got to talk about is you got to actually address the root cause of the inflammation and resolve the inflammation. The body is inflamed for a reason. When it does that, it's because it's irritated. It's upset with you. So you're going to be inflamed. So you got to figure out why your body's pissed off at you.
So you actually use the symptoms as guidelines as opposed to just treat the symptoms.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's a huge part of our belief system in this medicine, is that when a Band-Aid is needed, we absolutely use a Band-Aid.
Sure.
I use medications frequently. Medications are needed and can be a game changer. But if you don't go back and figure out why XYZ or such symptom is happening, you're going to miss a big, big potential for healing. So when I see a patient and we talk about a symptom, let's say I do blood work and I realize there is inflammation, there is an imbalance here, the sugars are off, then I always ask myself, okay, now why? I will treat those things, but now I have to figure out why. What is causing that? My experience is it's nutritional deficiencies, chronic infections, toxins, stress. Mm-hmm. It's one of those four things. So I
or a combination of more
or
than
a combination,
one. Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. I do chronic complex
illness. I'll take that one, yeah.
Yeah, so often those are the root causes of these imbalances, and then we have to figure out how to address those things. Yeah, I do a lot. I'm a Lyme disease specialist and a tick-borne illness specialist. We are in an epidemic, endemic area.
Yes.
So I have a lot of patients, they don't come to me for Lyme disease. Well, they don't even know they have a tick-borne infection or Lyme disease, and after a thorough workup, I mean, I'm diagnosing still, we're in January. Every week I'm diagnosing new cases of tick-borne infections. Every week. So, and we've had a pretty mild fall and winter, so there's still ticks out there and they're active. So, and that's one of the imbalances when these infections become chronic and they're not addressed properly, people develop chronic inflammation, which will then cause chaos in the body. Hormonally, immunologically, for the digestive system, for nutrients, it's a big mess. And then I have to fix it. So
I
try.
You're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, and we are talking with Melanie Dorion. She's a nurse practitioner, and that she started and is owner-operator, or whatever. How was that called for Sanavi Health?
Sanavi Health?
Yes.
What does it mean?
You are the
yes.
founder.
Yeah, I'm the founder and the owner.
And the owner. Okay,
yes.
Great. And we're talking, right now we're going to get into nutrient deficiency. Well, you'd mentioned earlier detox.
Yes.
So you would test, obviously. So that includes like blood test. What other tests?
So when I do a thorough functional workup on patients, it usually involves urine and blood testing to look at things from different angles, not just the blood levels of, because blood level gives you a snapshot of what's going on at that time, but it doesn't always give you a bigger or bird's eye view of what's going on. So that's where urinary testing for hormones and nutrients comes in really handy. And if someone has pretty significant or a strong history with digestive issues, then I will do some stool testing. So someone who's extremely sick comes to me with many, many symptoms, I typically do blood, urine, and stool testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do different urinary testing to look for toxins, to look for nutrients, and to look for hormone levels.
So once you get that, then you can see which way to go as far as detox, what you need to remove before you can start adding. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, sometimes we need to start adding things before they can really do other things. So it's really about what the top priority is. And I tell people, I'm gonna organize things in what's on fire now. Where do you need relief? Either immediate relief or immediate urgent support.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone, for example, comes to me and they have really severe nutritional deficiencies, or their blood sugars are extremely elevated, they have very high inflammatory markers, or they have infections, we need to give that body immediate relief, whatever that means. And I will utilize everywhere. I'm an herbalist and I do intravenous nutrient therapy. So I will use whatever I need to give that body relief, and or prescription medications. If there's an infection that needs to be treated with a prescription agent, I will use prescription agents. And then I will see what are the other layers that we need to do. While we're doing this more urgent emergency support, what else around that is out of balance that will support what we're trying to do on a more urgent, in a more urgent manner? So then I start, and I almost always start with, is the gut needing support, and do we need nutritional supplements, or if we need to address nutritional deficiencies? Because vitamins and minerals are what we call cofactors for enzymes. So it's like enzymes are like a car. A car needs a key to get the engine turned on, and you need fuel, you need gas. So the enzymes rely on precursors, so that would be the fuel. But the car can be full in gas, but if there's no key to ignite the motor, then the car's not going to go.
Right.
So the vitamins and minerals are the cofactors. They're like keys. They turn the car on. They turn these enzymes on. And enzymes rule our bodies. They handle detox. They handle energy. They handle hormones. They handle everything, digestion. But if these enzymes, these cars, can't do their actions, or they have a flat tire because there's nutritional deficiencies, because you can have cofactors, that also are like the tires on the car. So it's a really complex system. So if any of these things are missing, and really it's most of the times vitamins and minerals that makes these cars go. So if you have, if you're missing a whole bunch of parts for the enzyme, I mean, the car might go, but it might be a really bumpy ride.
Yeah,
not be able to go really fast. And that's where I see people with developing chronic symptoms because they have, they're missing all these things, or a big flat tire is toxins. Toxins will deflate all four tires almost immediately for some people. So chemicals that are around us, pesticides, insecticides, mold toxins. I'm a mold management expert. Mycotoxins, mold toxins are poisons to our enzymes and our mitochondria. So that will give this car flat tires. You can have all the fuel you want. You can have all the vitamins and minerals. If you're full of toxins, you have a, your car cannot go. Well, it can maybe run in some instances with flat tires, but it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. It's like running on the rims.
Yeah, it sucks.
Got no tires.
And that's how people feel. Like,
yeah.
You feel like you're, you know, functioning with a car on with flat tires. Well, yes, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yes.
That's a good analogy.
It works. It does work. So, worked hard on that one. I'm like, how can I explain enzymes
sure.
to people
yeah.
and why it's so critical to make sure you have the vitamins and the minerals, but also the macronutrients, the amino acids, the proteins, the fats, the carbs, and then how can we make sure the car runs properly, the tires and all that works well. And it's a pretty complex system, and it's all those things. So I've used the car analogy now for years, and it works really well. People seem to understand enzymes better now.
I was going to say, so if you get somebody that's been, you know, sort of brought up and is still eating processed foods with all these, they're toxins.
Huge amounts of toxins.
Pesticides and herbicides.
Without a doubt.
In meat and pesticides and herbicides.
Antibiotics,
in vegetables.
Hormones.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's just absolutely crazy. So someone's loaded with that, and we talked about it before. They take in the right nutrients, but then, you know, the nutrients are going, hey, I'm trying to work here, you know,
correct.
And I can't get around it.
And the car can't quite do its action because it's just loaded up with toxins. So, yes.
So that's the detox.
Yeah, our detox pathways are hugely dependent on nutrients. If you're deficient with any of the B as in boy or beta, B vitamins, magnesium, your detox pathway is significantly impacted negatively, and people have a very, very hard time getting rid of these toxins. So then we have to take a more aggressive or a more zealous route. I have to do that and really replenish their deficiencies or their stores, bring things back to optimal as quickly as possible. So I don't start detoxing someone, for example, if they have significant nutritional deficiencies.
Okay.
So if you start doing that, and this is after years of experience in many cases and after hour calls, my patients would do poorly in some of my detox protocols. And I really put the picture together that my patients who had significant nutritional deficiencies, if I tried to detox them too soon, they didn't do well. And this information is not really, it's not taught. It's not really out there, even in the functional medicine education realm or the integrative world. This is something I learned the hard way with taking weekend calls and after hour calls and supporting my patients through these detoxes that I would do. And I tried to put the picture together of why are they not doing well? Why did this patient sort of thrive to this protocol, but this one didn't? And after enough cases, I put it together. I'm like, one, their gut wasn't ready. And two, they didn't have enough nutrients. They ran out of nutrients. And if I could replenish those stores, give the gut some support, patients typically do pretty well. I have an entire protocol now after 6+ years of doing this that I've developed just on safely detoxing chronic patients.
Wow.
That's
involved.
The art of medicine is you learn so much through patients and through different conditions. And I have to thank my patients because they've taught me so much, and they're very patient with me and my colleagues and I. And when we try things, there's often not an algorithm. There's no textbook. There's no guideline to manage these chronic patients and these complex patients. So we try things safely based on good studies and good science. But often these protocols that are complex that we're putting together, that I'm putting together, it's not something that's been tested extensively or researched, but also every patient is individual. So, but now I feel like I have enough experience, which is the art of medicine,
right,
that I have a better sense of how and when can I start detoxing someone. And it's very, very based on nutrients. So that's a big key for me. And any colleague practitioners doing this medicine, if you're starting into this world or getting into it, you have to do a functional assessment of nutrients before you start detoxing someone.
Yeah, we had a doctor locally that was at one of the, you know, First Med, I think, and he started functional medicine.
Yep.
And the reason was so that he didn't have to prescribe things that he could go to jail for.
Oh, man.
The opiates.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, what a terrible,
what
terrible
a mess that's become.
Quandary.
Yeah.
That is, because sometimes they need it and then.
Absolutely.
And I won't go into that much because that's not really what we're here for. But that's something, you know, the DEA comes in and goes through your files and treats you like you're a criminal and all.
Correct.
That. So, and he was tired of that.
Yep.
And so he picked functional medicine, and that was the first thing they did was extensive testing.
Yes.
So that they could get a baseline. He's
correct.
Since moved out of the area, unfortunately, because
yeah.
I think we need more like them and we need
totally
more
agree.
Like you. That's for
Thank
sure.
You.
You're welcome. Well, I mean it too. And we're listening to Your Health, or you're listening to Your Health on WPBC. And that can be streamed live on 947 WPVC.org. Also on Facebook, is that going live?
Yeah, we're Facebook Live right now. Facebooking live on Facebooking
yeah.
on Sonavie Health.
On Sonavie
yeah,
Health.
You can, on Facebook, we're just as Sonavie Health, and
okay.
we are live right now. So
that's excellent.
It will
that's
be
good.
Available later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully I pushed the button, but I
yeah,
haven't checked.
We,
I'm not the most tech savvy people.
I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh. My tech people might be laughing.
Yeah, you have to go to tech school. Technical deficiencies.
Yes, I qualify for that one.
Nutrients,
no
yes.
testing needed.
So we are going to take a small break here real quick, and we will be back. We are back. This is MC Blair. You're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC. That also is streaming live on 947WPVC.org and on Facebook at Sonavie Health. And so I am talking with Melanie Dorian. I'm so glad. And we're going to get into specific deficiencies. The first one, and this is so, I smile when I see iron deficiency, because years ago there was an ad for Geritol, and they called it, and they came. It seems like these medicines, OTC, over-the-counter medicines, are they make up diseases in order to sell their medicine. And the disease was iron deficiency anemia.
Mm.
And so, which is not a real disease. Their anemia is a condition, obviously,
correct.
And iron deficiency is, but they put it all together and made it sound like this disease. And of course, you had to drink Geritol and you'd be everything
of course,
would be okay.
Everything's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. No problem.
And I just say, well, just eat a lot of greens and pastured pork and poultry and grass-fed beef, and iron deficiency will go away. So iron deficiency, big one.
Yes, it is a big one in chronic illness, especially for the female population. The statistics are pretty impressive, especially women who are still having their periods or menstruating. The number of women who have suboptimal level, it's not just completely deficient or anemic, but suboptimal of iron is above 30%, I believe, of the female population. And when you think about how it affects us, iron is critical to the health of the red blood cells, to oxygen transport, to very basic things. So it's not just about, are you anemic or not? And this is something I really want to demystify right now. You can be iron deficient without being anemic. Okay, I'm going to repeat this, guys, because you have to hear me. You can be iron deficient without being anemic.
Huh.
So if your health practitioner has done some testing and they're like, you're not anemic, you've got to ask them. This is where you've got to take charge of your health. Please ask your practitioner, did you specifically test for iron? If the answer is no, they cannot for sure say that you are not iron deficient.
Mm.
I see this all the time. I'm a I'm a fatigue specialist. That's really probably my main specialty is I get patients, I get referrals because my patients come to me because they're tired. They're fatigued for years, months, weeks. And so I assess nutrient levels extensively with every single patient. I do iron workups all the time. I review iron workups every day. So I've become very familiar with it. And I see all the time patients who are not anemic. They have hematocrit and hemoglobin, which are the markers of red blood cells, that are what looks like perfect. Yet I do an iron workup and they're borderline complete deficient. So what happens is the body is going to compensate, is going to do whatever it can to maintain the red blood cell. It's going to do whatever it can to maintain that. And that means picking into iron storage, into B12 storage, into B6 and all these other nutrients to try and maintain your red blood cell health. And at a certain point, if you're not replenishing those nutrients at a, for some people, high or intensive pace, then the body is running out of those. And then sometimes weeks to months after you've run low or have run out of those, then you become anemic. So there can be this gap of months where you're deficient in all these nutrients, including iron, but you're not anemic still. So what I tell people is don't wait for anemia. And I educate healthcare practitioners. I have an online educational platform. I teach in conferences to healthcare providers. So I do a lot of education to healthcare providers. So it's a big part of my mission in my career is I want to educate healthcare providers. So one of the things that I tell them in almost every single presentation that I talk about, because it's always around health and nutrients and fatigue, because I'm a fatigue specialist, is I tell practitioners, I say, don't wait for the anemia. That is incredibly foolish. And you might put your patient in this position where they're exhausted because they're iron deficient, but they're not yet anemic. Are you kidding me? No, 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 no. It is your job as a healthcare provider to do a thorough workup. And it's pretty basic at this point. If they're tired, you do an iron panel with ferritin, iron TIBC, and an anemia workup. So if you're a patient and you're fatigued and you think you have iron issues, so take these notes. You need to have a CBC done. You also need to have an iron TIBC, which is an iron panel, but you also need, this is probably the most critical, and I've spoken to hematologists who don't even bother with TIBCs anymore. They just do a ferritin. So you have to have these three things to actually be able to say if yay or nay, you have an iron issue.
So CBC.
CBC, an iron TIBC, which is an iron panel.
Okay.
And a ferritin. If you don't have these three things, your practitioner or your iron levels have not been properly assessed. So don't just let your practitioner say you're not anemic, your iron's fine. That is completely false. Mm-hmm. That is not true. And that's basic physiology at this point. So, and I've had this discussion with many colleagues, go back to basic physiology. Can you have nutritional deficiencies without being anemic? Yes, that's basic physiology at this point. So if you're not assessing that possible gap where the patient is not yet anemic, yet they're deficient in all these nutrients, if you're not assessing that gap, you're missing a huge picture of why potentially the patient or why you, the patient, is not feeling well.
So talk to your doctor.
Talk to your practitioner. You have to come equipped. You have to come equipped with knowledge. Patients, you have to advocate for yourself. And this is something that I educate my patients on is please do research, read the links and the information I give you. Come and challenge me, question things that I may be recommending, come informed, or at least let me inform you and educate you so you can make better decisions. So if you're tired and you want to get a full workup and you go see your practitioner and they are not inclined to do that, and there's a variety of reasons that may happen, then get someone else.
I was just going to say.
Strain, plate, change practitioners. Straight up.
Yeah, I've done some research, and I'll go in and
or just order your own labs.
Yeah, and they'll now will your health coverage cover that generally?
So if you go see a healthcare practitioner, if you have traditional health insurance, that should be covered depending on your health insurance plan.
Right.
If you go outside of those, if you order your own labs, typically because it's not ordered by a healthcare provider, then that doesn't get covered by insurance. Some different models like health shares will reimburse patients, even if they order their own labs. So you can. There's multiple companies out there that you can order your own blood work. But then you do need someone to guide you through the results.
And I was this just going to say, yeah.
So what do you do next? You find a practitioner who's going to help you. Honestly, it's an easy way to see if you're going to have a good relationship with your healthcare provider or not. If you come to them and you've done your research and you're advocating for yourself because you don't feel well, you have health concerns, to do a certain test, if they refuse to do that, just change practitioners.
Change practitioners.
It's not worth it.
I was going to say, I've been in the doctor's office and I was talking about my research and I said, hey, I did this and this and this. And I could tell right away that it was, hey, I'm the professional here. I mean, the ego got in the way. And it's like, dude.
I mean, sometimes it's not so much about ego. It's just about not understanding where the patient is coming from or not having that knowledge. But then if that healthcare practitioner is not willing to acquire that knowledge or to actually support you and coach you through this, then it's just not a good fit. They might be really good and thrive in other areas of medicine, but if they're not willing to do that for you, it's not going to be a good fit. So for me, I use the example of a coach. It's like you go to your coach and you're not feeling well, you're injured, you're overtrained, and the coach refuses to change the plan. Dude, get a new coach,
man.
You're going to keep getting tired, or you're going to keep getting injured or overtrained, and you're not going to perform well in your sport. It's the same thing. Don't feel bad about it. There's enough health practitioners in this world. Interview them, see if it's going to be a good fit. If it doesn't click, get some change. And it's a lot of work. And I don't ignore that fact that for patients, especially when they're not feeling well, you've got to do that. And that's part of taking charge of your health.
There you go. Taking charge. Yeah. Take responsibility for your own health situation.
Absolutely.
So what are the symptoms of possible iron deficiency?
The big one is fatigue.
Fatigue,
feeling sluggish. But then the big picture of that, especially for athletes, they're going to ignore that they're fatigued. They're going to keep pushing through. A decrease in performance, mental or physical, and or exercise intolerance. Suddenly, like you're going upstairs and you feel like you just did intervals. Yeah, you might have iron deficiency. Restless leg syndrome. So you feel almost agitated inside your body, especially in the evenings or when you relax, like you can't stop moving your legs. Cramping. I see a lot of cramping. It's not just magnesium and electrolytes. I see a lot of iron issues in my patients who cramp. And having... So for some people, the fatigue really presents itself with more a cognitive decline. So that brain fog, that inability to focus, that having a really hard time multitasking, whereas they used to be able to handle their to-do list, feeling constantly overwhelmed. Those, for some people, it's more an emotional presentation of I'm so exhausted, but I can power through, but I cannot think right now to handle my to-do list. I'm emotionally and cognitively exhausted. So it's not just a physical exhaustion. So those are our symptoms. If you start craving like metals, if you feel like you need to eat, and people, they're like, I have this weird craving. I hear this. I'm not kidding you.
No, I'm just laughing.
And then, or like, if you're craving meat and
chew
you don't,
this bar of steel.
If you don't typically crave meat and you're craving meat, yeah, it's maybe time for a nutritional assessment.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I have women who, so I don't manage pregnancy, but I will support some of my pregnant patients without being the one who manages them. But many of my patients, it's very common, unfortunately, women become suboptimal in their iron levels, not even anemic or iron deficient. They just become suboptimal and they start craving burgers and steaks. I'm like, okay, it's maybe time to like increase your herbals for iron or your iron supplement.
Sure.
Because your body is telling you what it needs.
Yeah.
So, or it could be a B vitamin issue too, because animal products are really good at giving B vitamins, B12, for example. So
parents.
Yes.
When the children come home and maybe the grades were okay and now they're starting to slip, that could be a good question to ask. Are you sitting in class and do you feel like brain fog or, you know, those kinds of questions?
Is it hard to focus? Are you having a hard time when you're exercising? So full disclosure, I do not manage children under 13. So
okay.
I'm an adult geriatric specialist. So my credentials, I'm a AGNP, which is an adult geriatric nurse practitioner. So my scope starts at 13. So even in the teens who are feeling sluggish, tired, even though they're sleeping well, and if they're having their rest restless, yet they're fatigued, they're not sleeping well, yet their grades are starting to suffer a little bit, a nutritional assessment is absolutely warranted, and check for iron. Again, parents and or people out there not feeling well, you have to do those three tests. The CBC, a full iron panel with TIBC, plus a ferritin. To assess iron properly, you have to do all those three things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So there you go. So as a parent, you can take charge. You're supposed to take charge of your kids'
yes.
lives, or at least guide them. You know, guide them. So you mentioned red meat, organ meat, also shellfish. And then for the vegetarians, beans, seeds, and dark leafy greens.
Absolutely. Those are fabulous sources. In terms of the animal products, you've got to make sure you're getting them organic and pasture-raised.
I was just going to say grass-fed, grass-finished beef,
organic,
pastured pork,
pasture-raised.
And
try and get local focus on the... Ideally, locally sourced, because then you can talk closely with your butcher or the people who are raising them.
The farmer, right.
The farmer,
yeah.
And just make sure that they're actually raising them properly. The animals are happy animals, because I say this to people, happy animals, happy fats, happy meat.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, vitamin D, you know, and we'll talk about that. But if the animal has been grazing out in the sun... They're getting lots of vitamin D.
Yeah, and their
and
fat
that's going
profile.
Right into the fat.
Yep.
Exactly.
Fat profile is a pretty significantly different between a pasture-raised, organically raised animal and a traditionally raised animal. The fat profile, in terms of just their antioxidant and their omegas, is a different fat profile.
I was just going to say.
You are different eating things from the different sources.
Well, I was doing some research, and I found out a fast food burger.
Oh,
I know, right? The
just don't do it.
The omega 3-6 ratio should be 1-1, you know, or 2-1 omega 3. You know, higher omega 3 than omega 6. We don't make omega 3s. We have to take them in. We do convert things to omega 6. That's
correct.
Just how our bodies work. The meat profile of a grain fed or a factory fed beef animal is 6-1 omega 6-3.
It's so bad.
It's what so it would bad. Say. You'd get a major crisis at a cellular level, right?
Yes. I'm going to start using that. So Mike just taught me that over a phone conversation. You're going to have a major crisis at a cellular level.
Yes.
You know, that's the best way to describe when you eat crappy food, what happens.
Yeah.
And it's a crisis that can last hours to days, depending on who you are and your baseline health. But it is a for real cellular crisis. The whole inflammatory pathway that is triggered when you eat crappy food is no joke.
Yeah.
You're going to be assessing that, I think, in the near future.
Absolutely.
That's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take certain foods and run them through your body and let you know who's going crazy and who's telling you stop.
You know? So much fun.
Iodine. Well, let's see. I'll tell you what. We have iodine deficiency. We can talk about that. But let's talk about, and you mentioned, vitamin D deficiency.
Correct.
And we are going to get back to that as soon as we come back. And we are back. This is MC Blair. This is To Your Health. We are streaming live on 947WPVC.org. Also on Facebook at Sanavi Health. Hey, everybody on Facebook. And we are getting a lot of waves, so that's really cool. Means people are listening. I am interviewing Melanie Dorian. She is an AGNP, and the AG is adult geriatrics. So, and man, I'll tell you, just it's so much fun talking to you. And we basically, just to recap real quick, we're trying to remove the obstacles that keep you from absorbing your nutrients and keep you from being your best self, you know, wide awake and all that. And we're going into one of the common things that we have is nutrient deficiency. We talked about iron. We're now going to talk about vitamin D deficiency.
Yes, vitamin D is so critical, and we're not quite sure in the world of medicine what's going on and why so many people are becoming deficient. Even the people who are getting outside, who are getting sun exposure. I remember when I was working in primary care, I worked in a very rural community, and I would have farmers right off of their tractors. They're super tan, middle of summer. You assess their nutrient intake. You do a vitamin D test because they're not feeling well, and they would be completely deficient. I mean, that should not be happening. Mm-hmm. So we're just not sure exactly what's going on, but there's especially in higher latitudes, we have very significant amounts of issues with vitamin D deficiencies. And so vitamin D, it's a vitamin, but it really acts more like a hormone. So it's critical for many, many, many things, including immune function. So it's not just for bone health or for your teeth. It's really critical for the immune function. So, and there's been some really interesting studies showing that, and it's correlation, not causation at this point, but that there's a link between patients with autoimmune diseases and vitamin D deficiencies. So we're not sure how they worked, how the one contributes to the other, but we're seeing this pattern of this key nutrient, which is vitamin D, in these patients who have these autoimmune diseases, which means their immune system is dysfunctional and it's attacking part of their body. So vitamin D, we're finding, is really critical for overall health, but overall immune health. So I test every single one of my patients for vitamin D in my thorough nutritional workup. And I am finding in my patients with chronic illness, there's a significant amount of people, even who eat sources of vitamin D, who are diligent about getting sun exposure, they're still vitamin D deficient. So it's really critical to supplement in that case.
Could there be an underlying cause that's not allowing vitamin D to be absorbed?
And it's not so much, well, if they're taking supplements and their vitamin D levels are still low, correct, there's an absorption issue. But if they're not taking a supplement and they're eating the right foods and they're getting sun exposure, then it's a conversion issue in the skin. And that's the part that we're not sure what's going on, because it's a chemical reaction in our skin. When you get the UV light, if you have all the precursors, your body should be able to get the chemical reaction to convert the precursors into active vitamin D. So for some people, what we're suspecting is that system is becoming dysfunctional, and we're just not quite sure why. There could be some new studies that I haven't read in the last year. I won't lie, I haven't dove into that topic deeply probably in the last year, because I've been deep into other topics. But so please let me know, especially on Facebook, guys, if you know of like studies explaining recent studies in the last year explaining potentially contributing factors as to why so many people are vitamin D deficient, other than a lot of people aren't going outside and they're not eating the right food. So other than that, I would love to be educated on what's going on or updated on that. But it's a significant problem. So I deal with chronic complex illnesses, and therefore, and I see a lot of autoimmune diseases in my practice. So vitamin D is really critical. And often I will see patients start healing better and their energy levels start improving just by correcting vitamin D. It's amazing. Yeah.
So the autoimmune's of MS, Parkinson's, Huntington's, colitis, ulcerative colitis. What other?
So I treat a lot of thyroid autoimmune diseases and connective tissue autoimmune diseases. So I treat a lot of Hashimoto's thyroid disease, Graves' thyroid disease. I do a lot of Sjogren's and scleroderma, so connective tissue autoimmune diseases. And those are the main.
What's the
Epstein-Barr?
Epstein-Barr.
So Epstein-Barr is one of the main viruses that causes mono. But it can cause havoc in the system without causing mono. And Epstein-Barr can reactivate. So if you've had mono, you're going to have Epstein-Barr virus in your system for life. But it can reactivate. It should stay dormant, or at the very least, your immune system should be able to keep it at bay. But when the immune system is compromised, your vitamin D is low, you're not sleeping enough, you have chronic infections, you have toxins, the immune system is compromised, then Epstein-Barr can reactivate. And it's I say that to people. I'm like, this is a naughty virus, because it's really patient, and then it hides. And then it comes back when you're at your weakest.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. High respect for it, though, because, man, that virus knows how to thrive. But it wreaks havoc in people. One of my chronic health issues when I was chronically ill is I actually was symptomatic of mono. I had Epstein-Barr. So I had mono for 4 years at one point.
Oh, my.
It was so bad. I was so tired. Yeah, I tested 4 years in a row positive for reactivated and active Epstein-Barr virus, but I was also symptomatic of many of the mono symptoms. So yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, no energy.
So I got really well acquainted with that virus. And I test every single one of my patients who comes in and who has a concern with energy or fatigue, just because I find that it's reactivated in a lot of people. And I will tackle Epstein-Barr, but that for me is symptomatic of an underlying immune imbalance. So then I go back to what's the root cause of the immune imbalance, and then I try and figure that one out.
Wow. So if you've removed obstacles, you've done a detox, they're absorbing their nutrients properly, can autoimmune diseases, and I say cured, I don't want to use that word. I like using that word. Reduce symptoms.
Reversed. Absolutely.
Through diet.
Well, I mean, it takes to reverse a autoimmune disease, it takes a really comprehensive approach. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be diet and lifestyles. Those, those are critical. It's what I tell people, the base of the treatment pyramid. So I treat in a pyramid fashion. The base is always diet and lifestyle. Then it's going to be nutrient intake. And then it's going to be, you go up the pyramid and like supplementation, herbals, infection treatment, detox. So you go up and up the pyramid. Top of the pyramid would be the most invasive thing, such as a surgical intervention. Mm-hmm. But at the base of the pyramid, it's going to be diet and lifestyle. But for someone with an autoimmune disease, you have to start going up in the pyramid pretty quickly, and often integrate some medications in some form. And not the autoimmune traditional immune suppressant medications always from the beginning. Sometimes they're a helpful tool to get people out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to calm that immune system down quickly. Medications are really good at that in some instances. So you have to know how to use them wisely. But if that's all you do, you're not correcting the root cause. So, and I've seen many cases of autoimmune disease be reversed or at the very least stabilized, where they might have some very low levels of autoimmune markers that are showing up, but they're asymptomatic, meaning they don't have any more of the symptoms and they're feeling good and they're thriving. I have many of those patients. So absolutely. And I really truly believe that one of the few approaches that can actually reverse or at the very least stabilize autoimmune disease, which is a chronic complex illness, is an integrative and functional approach. And I've seen it work. I've seen it work really well for some people.
Well, that's great. What about B12 or the B complex?
The B vitamins. B12 is a huge one, and it's really not well understood. Even in the traditional world, the traditional medicine world, in terms of testing. So often you can go to your practitioner and they will check your blood levels of B12 and they may look fine. But you got to remember that levels of nutrients in the blood is just a snapshot of what's going on right now. Meaning, what did you eat today or yesterday and what you took in supplements? That's it. That's all it tells us. It's a snapshot of what's going on right now, what's in circulation. It's informative, but how I explain how I use B12 testing in the blood is I only use it to diagnose a deficiency. You will never hear me say, oh, your B12 level is fine because it's in the normal range. That is incorrect. Physiologically, at a functional level, meaning how your body's using these nutrients, a B12 level in the blood really only is helpful in terms of knowing if you're deficient. Even if your B12 level looks on the high end of the normal range, if your body can't use it, it's not having access to your cells or your enzymes, your cars that we talked about earlier have flat tires. Doesn't matter how much B12 you have, it's not functioning properly. So then you have to do urinary tests to assess if these the nutrients, so the B12 in the blood, is actually going into the cell. Can the cell do its action with it? Can the car move? Is the car getting from point A to point B? Point B, you're going to have some markers in the urine. So you have to check the urinary levels of. But then you also have other things, an entire pathway called the methylation pathway is hugely dependent on B12 and folate, magnesium, and B6. So if you want to assess how those nutrients are functionally doing in your body, are they doing their function, then you look at methylation markers such as homocysteine and glutathione. If those are abnormal, if your homocysteine is high or your methylmalonic in the urine is high, the functional utilization of B12 and folate is not optimal. It's almost a slam dunk. We don't always have these slam dunks in medicine, but if you're MMA, your methylmalonic in urine, which assesses how well the body is using B12, or your homocysteine level in the blood, which homocysteine is a marker of the methylation pathway. If those are off or those are elevated, you have an issue with B12 and folate. It's almost guaranteed.
So how do you do, let's say that's elevated. How do you get it down to a normal level?
You come
so
see
that you
Melanie.
Can use your...
that's like an entire weekend course.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, like
wow.
There's extensive information about that. But at the very least, you've got to see, are you deficient in B12 and folate? So it's very fair to, at the very least, get a high quality supplement that contains the proper forms of B12 and folate. But you don't want to be foolish about that. You don't want to start taking one, don't start taking cheap supplements. Might as well not take them at all.
Don't
take
you're
cheap
right.
supplements. Don't buy them at just any regular pharmacies or at the grocery store. Don't take the cheap stuff. Just don't do it. You're possibly putting in toxins into your body.
Sure.
And just nutrients that are not good for you. So invest in high quality supplements and start low and go slow. Never start at a high dose with these nutrients, especially not B12 and folate, because you're pushing these pathways, detox and methylation, these biochemical pathways that if you start activating that too much, it's going to activate something else and something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you might get headaches, you might get nauseated, you might start detoxing, you could get a rash, and those are not good things. So you have to start at a very low dose. Typically, I tell people half or a quarter of what the bottle says of that supplement. Start very low and go slow. And then you recheck a couple weeks later your homocysteine and your methylmalonic. If those are better, they're improving, okay, well, you...
I wish they made home tests for these things so we could
do it at home. You can order this online. You can order through, there's different online platforms, companies that are offering these tests. You can just order it online and... You go to a place where you can get a blood drawn, or I think they ship you a container for urine, and you can, or you just go see a functional medicine practitioner, and we will assess for that.
So the food for vitamin B12, I know you can do organ meat. Some people don't like that, but grass-fed beef.
Correct.
Pastured pork and poultry. It's all animal.
Yeah.
Eggs.
Yes.
I always eat a couple eggs on a daily basis. Shellfish, which is great, and we're so close to the ocean that
I know.
You know, that's local.
We're a little bit spoiled.
Yeah, we really are, you know.
It's important for people to understand that B12, the only source that is readily available for the body, is from animals. So if you don't eat animal products, and I fully support that for some patients. Some patients really thrive on vegetarian and vegan diets, but you have to be very diligent about supplementing. At the very least with B12, I typically have all my vegans who are strict vegans on a B-complex, with some of them a little extra B12, especially if they want to be a peak performer, either an executive or a business owner or someone who's extremely busy and is doing a lot, or an athlete. You're going to need extra B12. That's just, again, basic physiology. So I recommend extra B12 for those patients.
I was told, I had a test run, and I was told my B was off the charts high. And, you know, I started thinking, I said, what the heck? So I did some research, which I love to do, on the food I was eating.
Yes.
And I found out that when I take these, I have my farmer who... I actually have a farmer that is allowed to do his own butchering.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Very, very unusual for this state.
I love that you have your farmer.
Yeah, my farmer.
That's cool.
He's my pharmaceutical guy. That's
I have it. My pharmacist.
Pharmacist with an F, right?
Yeah, right. That's great.
You know,
good.
I found out that pork fat, if it's pastured pork, the fat, which I like to singe and, you know, burn it real good and get it nice and crispy, I found out that is high in the B complexes, especially B12.
Well, that's interesting because it's not a fat-soluble vitamin. So typically it's in the
weird
meat.
Yeah.
I did not know. You're teaching me. I did not know that fat.
I was amazed. I went, cool.
I have to think about that one.
I love it. Yeah.
Why is the B12 in the fat? It's typically in the meat because it's not a fat soluble. I don't know.
Be darned. Well, check it out. Maybe you'll teach me something. Maybe I was wrong, but I'll be texting you about that. Yeah, probably right. And I wanted to touch really quick. We've only got a couple of minutes.
Yes.
But calcium, deficiency. That is so important, especially as we age. Osteoporosis
Correct.
Is a big problem. So what, kale and fish?
Yes, leafy greens. If you're not doing any dairy, historically dairy is the best source of calcium, but a lot of people, especially my patient population, does not do a lot of dairy. They have a lot of sensitivities or intolerances to it. But yes, you have to be a little bit more diligent in getting other sources of calcium. So tofu can be a good source of iron and calcium. Mm-hmm. And you have to be mindful, especially as we age, it's not a bad idea to get a supplement, but you don't want to take a huge dose all at once because it can be irritating actually for the system. So a combination of a supplement and a food sources of calcium is critical. And then if your calcium levels are not optimal, even when doing those things, you've got to make sure you have an impact sport so that you're stressing the bones so that the calcium won't be deposited. And then you've got to get your gut checked.
So even a treadmill is good on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Walking.
Yeah, exactly. Walking. But you have to, you have just slowly walking your dog and stopping every.
No.
Yeah.
That's, just a steady.
Yes. You have to have an impact. It has to be an impact when you're doing the exercise. Weightlifting is also great. But if you're doing all those things right and calcium is still not optimal, you have to get your gut checked. It means you're not absorbing it.
Wow. Well, gosh, we've come to the end already. I cannot believe this.
Time flew.
Do want to do my two-minute drill. I like it. It says, let's face it, folks, our survival as a species depends on three basic needs being met. We need clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, clean soil, which gives us clean food to eat. And obviously, it goes without saying, if we breathe dirty air, our lungs are going to suffer and our resources will be spent trying to heal them. However, if the air is still polluted, it's like trying to catch your shadow. It's just not there, right? We unfortunately, clean air, clean water, clean soil is not a priority of the powers running our food and health systems. And nutrient deficiency is the norm. And that leaves our citizenry generally sick, rendering our communities broken. And we know that. FDR said corporations are the enemies of the people. And I think it was because of the model, not the people that work in corporations.
Yeah.
And they do provide jobs. But all they care about is the bottom line.
They do.
It's true. Now, we can change the national food and health system. Good luck. But it starts at home by changing one community at a time. That's what we're about here on To Your Health. We've heard today how to get the nutrients we need for a balanced immune system, a healthy brain, and a general feeling of well-being because we are what we eat. You know, and high quality supplements kind of go along with that as
Correct.
Well. There are times when you absolutely need them, and we can go into that. Contact Melanie on Facebook and find out where you get high quality supplements.
Or actually through my website.
Okay.
Facebook is not the right platform to ask those things.
Okay.
You know, contact me, reach me through email or through my website.
Oh, okay.
But really,
and
come
that
and
the
see
website
me.
Is
sonavihealth.com.
Sonavihealth.com. The good news is that you follow these guidelines, fewer resources will be spent on health care, and our children will be more equipped to learn and deal with the stages and challenges of growing up. I want to thank Melanie Dorion. Thank you, Melanie, for educating us on the importance of being nutrient conscious and the solutions functional medicine offers, plus sharing her passion for health and life, which you have.
Thank you
very much. It just comes through. You know? And thanks for listening, folks. And remember, taking responsibility for your health situation, taking action now, and maintaining a positive attitude are keys to your health.